Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. If today's message motivates you, inspires you, moves you into action, then please share this with somebody via social media, text, whatever works for you. You could also give us a rating or review on iTunes. And last but not least, be sure to check out my book, Game Changing Moves, Life Lessons from the Locker Room and Beyond. You can pick it up right now on Amazon or go to my publisher, crosstrainingpublishing.com. All right, y'all, let's jump into today's episode. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped, man. Today we have Coach Jabari Irons on here. And if you are in the wrestling world at all, if you're on social media, he's killing it right now on social media, getting on there and, you know, showing practices, showing technique. Also a ton of inspiration, but a little bit about his background. You know, Coach Irons, he runs the Irons Elite Wrestling Club. He is a NCAA national wrestling champion for Florida Gulf Coast. And the man is built like a Greek god, can throw people through the roof. You know, he's a thrower. I'm a thrower too, man. I love it. So Jabari, thanks for being on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, well, let's just start here, man. So people can, so we can really know you and get your background. Where'd you grow up at? Maybe some of the sports you played and then how you got into wrestling.
So I'm from Fort Myers, Florida. That is Southwest Florida, location-wise. So pretty much I grew up just playing football. Like I played, you know, organized football with Pop Warner. But I actually wrestled probably for like a few weeks when I was a kid. But, you know, back then, nobody really knows what they're doing. And I only knew WWE. So it was like we practiced a little bit. But then the program kind of went under because I guess they were told that we couldn't do it anymore. So, I played football all the way growing up. When I got into high school, football was pretty much my life. And I ended up getting hurt messing around in the neighborhood. We were riding dirt bikes and four-wheelers and things of that nature. And I ended up getting in a little incident where I got hurt. And I couldn't And what actually happened was my finger on my left hand is like pretty much like a little quarter of it is pretty much gone. So I was told that I didn't get cleared. And, you know, football season came around and I still wasn't cleared. So as things started to get better and I was able to do more physical activity, I found myself in the neighborhood with friends. And this is sophomore year of high school. And I found myself like in the neighborhood with friends. We were out there with UFC like wrestling gloves and boxing gloves. And we were just messing around in the neighborhood. And a friend of mine was like, you know, showboating in front of all the other boys. And he was like, oh, I've been going to wrestling practice at school. That's how I got so good at, you know, this MMA fighting. And I'm just like, well, I'm going to go to wrestling practice because you ain't going to be, you know, showing me up out here. So the very next week, I end up showing up to wrestling practice and I got to practice with them for 2 weeks. And for the first 2 weeks, I was getting my butt kicked. I wasn't able to score a point. But after the 2 week mark, you know, I was getting takedowns and it was fun for me. So after 2 weeks, I got cleared to go back and play football. So then I played football. We went to the playoffs. So I didn't get back on the mat until like December, and season starts, you know, like November. Barely had a winning record, 17 and 16, barely had a winning record. And at the end of season, on the next weekend, my coach calls and says, hey, do you want to wrestle this upcoming weekend? And I'm like, what do you mean? I just lost that district. So like, I can't wrestle. And he's like, no, wrestling, you can do it year round. You want to go? And I'm like, yeah. So every weekend, and from that point on, spring through summer, he picked me up every single weekend and we would go to a tournament. And like from that moment, I never stepped off the wrestling mat. And I would do both sports year round, football year round and wrestling year round. So, I mean, I kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, both sports went hand in hand. And upon graduation, I had scholarships to go do both. And I ended up choosing wrestling. It was my passion.
That's awesome, man. First off, I love football. So I grew up playing football. My dad's a football coach. Like you said, the two sports go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I coached football for years. And when I stepped away from it, still constantly talk to kids about doing both, man. And thankfully we have a football coach that, that likes wrestling too. And he's bought in. Yeah. Benefits, you know, but, so it's awesome to me that you started so late and have done what you've done.
Sophomore year of high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think that kids got to start when they're, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, and nothing wrong with people are doing that, man. As long as you're not burning kids out. Right. But, I've had several athletes that started in middle school and high school and did really well, but it takes a lot of work. Like you said, man, you were going year round, like you did in football.
Year round football practice was early in the morning. I'd go home, have enough time to eat, take a nap. And I was right back out of the door, wrestling practice at night. And that went on year round, like all throughout the summer and the fall, same exact thing. Football practice, I jumped in the car with my wrestling coach right after football, still smelling like grass and spoiled milk, and I go right to wrestling practice. And this was literally all year round, and I loved every second of it.
Yep. So, okay, you know, you had scholarship offers in both. What made you go toward wrestling? And then let's talk a little bit about your college wrestling career.
So what made me go towards wrestling was the fact that I had a lot of football coaches. That was the main thing. I had a lot of football coaches coming to me, you know, big D1 schools, and they'd come down and, well, we love your film. And, you know, they'd boost my head up. And then they'd always mention my height. And they'd say, if you were only, you know, an inch and a half taller, if you were only 2 inches taller, oh, your speed, we're going to have to move you to strong safety. We're going to move you to nickel. And I'm 5'10". And I play linebacker, but it's like, you're obviously here from Northern Iowa. You're here from Jacksonville University. Like, why are you, like, you're here for a reason. Just appreciate the film and the numbers. Like, why are you talking about my height? And my thing is, if I'm going to do anything, my goal is always to be the best at it. Like, I don't want to do anything and just be mediocre. Like, once I build a passion for, it doesn't matter if it's a sport, if it's a hobby, it doesn't matter. Like, I want to be the best at it. So I felt like if I would have gone and played football, you know, I want to achieve the highest level that I can. And in football, the highest level is going to be the NFL. So I'm like, if another man has control over my success and saying, if you're only 2 inches taller, why would I go do that sport? And I have no control over my success. Mm-hmm. Like, technically, I have no control over my success is what another man, how they feel.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not like, how are you already going to limit me? I didn't even play one college snap yet. I'm going to go wrestle where I can't be limited. I'm going to go wrestle where everything that you earn is on you. Like, wrestling has no limitations. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how heavy you are, how skinny your wrestling build. You can have one arm and still be successful. Like, that's why I love the sport. Not only that, but I had just lost the state wrestling tournament. So part of me was, I just kept thinking, what if I kept on doing this? How could I actually become? I'm like, I just started. What if I kept doing this? Like, how good could I become? So I'm like, and I had like 6 friends who all went to go play football. And I'm just like, I think I'm going to be that oddball to go wrestle. And that's what I did.
All right. So, which makes sense, man. I mean, a young man that I coached actually got signed to the NFL this year. He's with the Bengals, but it was super frustrating because coming out, and he came out of college a year early, but he is a freak athlete. His film is absolutely incredible. His college career is incredible. Did his pro day, had a good day, but kind of the same thing. He's a defensive end. And they're like, oh, well, we're worried because your wingspan is like 2 inches shorter than what we're looking for. And literally it dropped it. He still ended up getting drafted late in the late rounds. But I'm like, he did everything. He was incredible as a college athlete. And now all of a sudden you're looking at a 2 inch too short wingspan.
Uncontrollables.
Yeah. And, you know, so he just got in. Thankfully, he got picked up. And, you know, so at that point, you put in the work. But, yeah, I love that about wrestling, man. Like, yeah, control the controllable is something that we talk about all the time. And wrestling can do that. So, all right. So now tell me about your college wrestling career.
So I ended up signing my letter of intent with Ohio Valley University. You know, I didn't have a lot of offers. I had Northern Iowa Area Community College was looking at me. They always have, you know, top 3 finishes in JUCO Nationals. And then I had, there was one more, I think Waldorf. It was another NAIA, and they were looking at me. And I didn't have many options, but a best friend of mine was going to Ohio Valley University, and he wanted me to go to school with him so bad. So I'm just like, all right, well, I have another friend that's going there. So I said, okay. So my college career, it was rough, man. It was rough. Like, I was very tempted. I was very tempted after preseason was pretty well. I did very well in practice. But my first match, I got pinned. Second match, I got teched. And I lost my first 4 matches. We went to a tournament right after that. Lost. And I lost my first 4 matches, 2 wrestling events, and I'm 0-4. I think I was the only one one of the only ones on the team who just had 0 wins. And I'm just like, why am I able to practice and beat most of you guys who are successful, but I can't even do it on the mat? And like, my pride was so hurt, and it took everything in me not to just call back those football coaches and say, hey, coach, all right, I'm ready to come play football. And so I just kind of stuck it out. And I realized that I was putting a lot of like pressure on myself. So my coach, Pat Sowell, his thing was always go out there, score points, have fun. And once I started doing that, the very next tournament, I ended up taking 3rd at a tournament. And then from that day on, every tournament we went to, I was placing as a freshman. And I was like, okay, now you know you might have some potential in this. So first season went well. I was a match away from Nationals, and that was Division 2, a match away from Nationals. And then the very next year, I lost the match to go to Nationals. I had only a handful of losses. I'm pretty sure less than 10 losses in the whole season. And I thought that was the year I was going to go, because I was at the RTC, the Ohio State RTC, all summer. I was being trained by Soviet Union national and U.S. Open national champion Marat Kharchalava. His son's at Ohio State right now, Carson. And I was training there with Tyler Graff and Nick Lee and Braxton Amos and all of those superstars. And I'm like, yeah, this is my year. And then I lose the match to go to nationals. But then after that, I transferred out of OVU. You know, took some time off school, I think a year. Took a year off school, got into Bruton Parker. Things were going all right. Had an injury. I was undefeated in the NAIA there for that season. Postseason came around, fractured some ribs, tore some cartilage, couldn't finish the season. I ended up transferring home after, you know, some environmental things didn't really like weren't going well. And I just felt like the environment wasn't promoting my progress there. So then I just decided to come home and start coaching. And I knew I had a job in the school system as a substitute teacher. My old high school kept saying, you know, come teach. So that's when I transferred home to FGCU. And I trained with Nico Price for a while, the UFC fighter. And I trained with my high school wrestling team, who I was coaching. And those were my practice partners. And that year, I was doing three practices a day. And that year, 2019, that's when I ended up winning nationals.
So I want to hit real quick on adversity. And I've talked about this on other podcasts before, but some of the people got to know is, you know, whenever you become a college athlete, this is for any sport, but I'll speak on wrestling because that's what I did in college. You know, I often tell people, like, you know, once you get to college, you get broke or you get better. Because in high school, you might be the hammer in the room. Maybe there's a couple of you. All of a sudden in college, like, there might be six hammers just at your weight, right?
That's yeah. Right.
Everybody around you is really good. And a lot of people can't handle that. So they right. encounter adversity. It's one of the things that we love about wrestling is even though it is sort of self-inflicted adversity, which, you know, sports are, right? We're choosing to be in the sport. But so what did you learn from, you know, dealing with some adversity? I mean, like being undefeated and having an injury or going in and like you said, starting off 0-4, how did you come up with that mindset of like, and decide to listen to your coach where, you know, I'm not gonna get broke and quit where a lot of guys would, you just said, I'm going to go ahead and get better. What was the mental flip for you?
So one of the things for me, and like probably the biggest reason I chose to even wrestle in college was because I enjoyed how tough wrestling was. Mm. And I tell everybody, wrestling is 10 times harder than football will ever be. And I like that. For some reason, I love that about the sport. Like, I know I'm going to go through hell every single day and every time I step on the mat. But for some reason, it just feels better when you win and you know what you put your body through. And that was a big thing for it. For me, I feel like adversity is mental. And one of the things that kind of did it for me was I knew that a lot of it was my own success, like my own, like what I can control. For example, we went to the Midwest Classic, which is one of the hardest like Division II tournaments. Yeah. And very first match, I didn't even know who I was wrestling, but I was wrestling the number 2 seed at the tournament. And I'm whooping this kid 7-0 in the first period. And, you know, something in my mind told me, you're winning 7-0. Just calm down a little bit, save your energy, and we're just going to win this match. Like, you know, we're just going to coast to the finish line. Little did I know that this kid was pretty skilled on top bottom. So reversal. He chooses down, reversal. He takes me down. We end up going to triple overtime. And I lose the match in triple overtime. And I tell you, I never cried so hard in my life because I didn't even know who he was at the time. But I'm just like, bro, you just blew a 7-0 lead in the first period. And after that, I went to practice and I told myself, like, you're never going to lose another match because you're tired or because you think you're tired or you think you're going to get tired. So from that point on, like, I gave it my absolute all every single practice. Like, I wouldn't care if I'm winning a practice match 32-0. If I felt like I didn't get enough takedowns, like, I'd cry about it. And if we were doing sprints at the end and I didn't come in first place every single time, like, I'd be in the verge of tears because I'm like, you let yourself down. And I just looked at it from a standpoint of that. Like, I'm a faith-based, Christian as well. So I'm just like, I'm doing this for me, but I'm also doing this for, you know, the Lord. So I'm just like, everything that we do, you know, if you're, you know, you grew up in faith, is like, you're giving thanks and, you know, you're giving him all the praise. So I'm like, I don't want to let him down or myself. Cause if I'm gonna do this, I better be giving him my all. So that was like a huge, like, push for me. And I would say, like, failure is probably one of my biggest fears. So I'm just like, nah, dude, you better give it everything you got. So if you do happen to, you know, fail, at least you don't have any regrets because you gave it your all. And for me, like, as far as adversity, I just didn't feel like I had another option. I didn't feel like I could go home anyway. So it's like, what you gonna do? You can either be sad, you can work through it, but if you go home, what are you gonna become? Now you're back in a situation where you have nothing and no one to depend on. So you better figure it out.
Love it, man. It's made me think. One of my favorite rappers, NF, he says, I got to make it or make it. These are the options. I gotta make it, right? There ain't no other option. Yep. Right. So whenever you're left with no other options, man, you'll figure out a way. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So awesome. All right. And then I also want to hit on this. So before you won nationals in 2019, you came back, you're training with Nico Price, and then you were training with, you know, your high school team, you're coaching, my college coach, I remember him saying this one time, and I know it to be 100% true as a coach now, but he said, I wish every college athlete could take a year off and coach and then come back because they would be a better wrestler. So do you feel like you were a better wrestler after that year of coaching?
Most definitely. And even before that, the way I was able to train at Moran's up in Ohio, and I kid you not, Moran's practice facility, we had Tyler Graff training for the Olympic team at the same time. And that's when I really got my foot in the coaching life. And there was five and six-year-olds that I remember one day we were doing firemen's, and this little kid, Neil, his name's Neil, and nastiest fireman I ever seen in my life. From a six-year-old. And he had just started, he was like a two-time state champion in Ohio, and he only been wrestling for 2 years. That shows you the level of coaching Moran has. So I just remember Tyler Graff getting yelled at and screamed at, "You suck," by Moran. And he's like, "Neil, get in there and show him how to do it." And Neil's fireman and the guy left and right, like as fast as he can, over and over. And that's when I really got my foot in the coaching door. And like what coaching did for me, I had to coach moves that I've never even seen in my life. So the whole time, everybody, you know, Jed Moore was one of the clinicians there year round as well, four-time All-American for Virginia. So he is showing moves I've never seen in my life. Everybody's like up here, even the six-year-olds. And I'm like, I feel like I literally didn't know any of it. But I would just see the moves and I would study them as they're being taught. And I look, okay, what are their feet doing? Where is their hips? What are their hands doing? Where's their head? And that, just that analysis on the spot taught me like actually how to be a better wrestler. So once I, you know, I have to go around and pretend like I know how to do these moves because I just seen it. So then I would see them do it. And then when I walk around, I notice, okay, his foot placement wasn't in the same foot placement. Okay, his head was a little bit lower than the clinician's head. Okay, his hands were a little bit higher than where this kid's hands are. Okay, your hands are on the tricep, they should be in the armpit. So then when I started wrestling again, I noticed that it was easy. If I would do a move and I would feel where my hand was, I'm like, no, you got to do that again. And so every time I drill, I would just understand, okay, your hips were out a little bit. And I say, all right, let me do that again to my practice partner. And I'd say, oh, that wasn't hard enough. Or, I should have reacted this way. And it was just great to be able to, and it's almost like I'm watching myself drill as I'm drilling, it's like I'm literally standing right next to me watching myself drill because I can feel everything. I can feel where my hands are, where my head is. And I'm like, that wasn't good enough. You need to react faster. Okay, your foot wasn't in the right spot. So I feel like being able to coach actually puts in perspective awareness and positional awareness. I feel like that is what helps you elevate. Because once you can teach something, that means you understand the concept of why you're doing it. They're not just measly moves at work. Like, it's the concept behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it. So good. It's a great story too, man. So
it was crazy, man.
But I don't know the exact percentages. These are off the top of my head, you know, but as far as retention rates go, they say, I want to believe it's somewhere like, okay, if you hear something, your retention rate's about 10%. Mm-hmm. If you hear and see something, your retention rate's around 20%. If you do it, your retention rate now moves above 50%. And then if you actually teach it yourself, your retention rate moves up to closer to 90%.
Most definitely. I would say that is highly accurate.
Yeah. And, you know, so sometimes when I see that or think about that, or it happens to come up like it is right now, I kind of kick myself a little bit as a coach because I'm like, I don't do a good enough job having my own athletes show things.
Or show stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, especially some of the leaders on the team, the older guys, like, hey, they've been around, they know the system. Let them get teach it. They're going to get even better at it. So, All right. Now, Iron's Elite, man, let's move there. So, you know, you win nationals as an athlete, and then now you're running this program. Where did the thought process come from? How did it start?
Okay. So one of the reasons why I never, so the way it happened was when I was in college, I never wanted to go home because I didn't have good training. And I knew if I went home, I wouldn't really have anywhere to train. So I'm like, so I'd say, ask my friends, hey, can I go home with you this summer? Can I go home with you this summer? Can I go home with you for Thanksgiving break? And I didn't, there was no high level training in the area. So when I got down here, I'm like, and then after being exposed to Team Moran in Ohio, and everybody there is high level. And I'm just like, this is what I want for Fort Myers, Florida, for Southwest Florida. So I said, I'm gonna bring high level wrestling to Southwest Florida because I should not have to stay away from where I live just to get adequate training. I shouldn't have to fly to Ohio for weeks at a time. I shouldn't have to drive down to Miami all the time or, you know, leave the state just for high level training. I'm like, that's ridiculous. So I said, that's what I wanna do for Southwest Florida. And that's the reason why I said, you know what, I'm going to start up Irons Elite Wrestling Club.
With Irons Elite, you know, when I'm watching your videos and I'm seeing your athletes on there, who are you targeting as far as beginning athletes, elite athletes, everybody? Because it seems like you have a great turnout, man. So, you know, where are your athletes coming from? And kind of like I said, who's the target audience for your athletes?
Okay. So my target audience is anybody that wants to be the best, honestly. And like it doesn't really do you much justice to, you know, of course it's great if kids come to you and they're already amazing. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, I just want athletes who want to be the best. Because if you want to be the best, that means you're going to trust me as a coach, you're going to trust my system. And you can see the wrestlers who came in and they didn't have anything accomplished. And you can talk to them. And then, as you know, from student to student, then you'll say, okay, like he started out in the same position I was. So I wouldn't say there's like the age group. Of course, we just started a youth club as well, Little Elites, from ages 6 to 13. And then, of course, the high school is 14 to 18. I still have college kids come back in. But so really, my biggest thing is I just want kids that want to be the best, honestly, because those kids, you don't have to motivate them every single day. You don't have to hound them and say, why aren't you at practice? You don't have to do any of that. And they want to learn and they're asking you questions. And that's what I love. I think your other question was, you were talking about the turnout and you said, where do they come from? Oddly enough, the biggest percentage of my wrestlers are not even from Fort Myers, Florida, Cape Coral. They're not even from around. They drive from hours away. Mm. They all come. And it's like, it's real. It's very hard to understand why that is. But now when I have a clinic or an event, the room's packed. And, you know, everybody's, oh, this clinic was amazing, coach. You did such a great job. And I'm always reiterating, 2 days of wrestling isn't going to change your life. Yeah. Like, it blew your mind because you have another option to finish a high crotch. But when you go back to your high schools, you're not drilling this same system on your own. So it's like, you understand you can have access to this training year round, right? So like, that's what I'm always telling them. Like, it's consistency. Like, that's what creates the changes. But most of my wrestlers, they're coming from an hour, 2 hours away. And these are the guys that are successful. So my thing is, I'm still stressing to, you know, the local guys. If you tell me you want to be the best and I'm creating opportunities, then you're going to have to do more action than talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to, and it's one of the things about our sport, man. I don't know how many times I've talked to my wrestlers about this. Like, you can say whatever, but like, once we step underneath the lights, like, we get to see who put in the work.
That's right.
You can't fake it. Like, once you get out, you know, there's some things in life, like, you can talk big and you can kind of fake it, man. But when it comes to a hand-to-hand combative sport, like, sometimes people are just better than you, but sometimes we see, like, you either put in work or you didn't put in work, you know? So
that's right.
Yeah. All right. Foundationally, what are some of the things that, and I'm not talking just because I actually do want to talk about systematically, like, as far as stuff, but foundationally, let's say more like character type stuff. What are some of the things that are just so important or highly valuable or maybe even non-negotiables for your program that you're wanting to teach your athletes?
For me, the overall goal is to raise, you know, great citizens, great contributing citizens to society. So even outside of wrestling, I'm always talking to them about, okay, what do you want to do outside of, you know, high school? And I'm always talking to them. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Whatever you want to do, like, I will do my best to make it happen. You say you want to go to college? Okay, I'm going to start reaching out to these people for you in these schools. Okay, you want to go get a trade? Let me call some friends of mine and see how we can get you an apprenticeship. So for me, it's just, I want transparency. Like, if you're struggling, like, let me know. If you don't have food in your house, like, let me know. Like, we got a supermarket right there. Like, it's transparency, honesty. And I'm always stressing to them, you can't cut corners. You can't cut corners. Like, and I'm telling them, like, you volunteered to come here. You knew it was going to be hard when you came in here. Quitting is not an option. Like, cheating is not an option. If I say 30 push-ups and 30 burpees, like, and I decide to count yours, why did you only do 18? Like, cheating isn't an option. Cutting corners isn't an option. Do things right the first time. If I say we're doing high crotches, you don't stop when their hands hit the mat. You flatten them out on the mat. And don't cut corners. And I was just telling a middle schooler the other day, I'm like, sir, if you cut corners in here, you're going to cut corners in life, in the real world. And guess what? You're going to pay way more money than if you would have did it right the first time. You're going to spend way more time on it if you did it right the first time. And it's going to save you the mental health. So do it right the first time, because if you don't do it right in here, you think you're going to do it right out there? No. So even though you don't like it, do it right the first time. Like, stop trying to cut corners because things get hard. Like, it's going to get hard. But the lessons you learn on the mat is what's going to transfer into life. So I'm constantly stressing just lessons like that all the time.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, first off, when you're talking about, I mean, a kid being transparent, like, hey, if you don't have food at home, you know, helping kids. And it's crazy how many people think, how many parents and athletes just think that a scholarship offer is going to come to them, a college coach is going to come to them. You know, having people like yourself, and I do this a lot as a coach, you know, I find out this young man or this young lady wants to wrestle in college, I'm reaching out to people, right? Because there's so many athletes around the nation, college coaches can't get to everybody. We got to make that connection, you know. But all that kind of coming back to, you're building relationships, you know, you're building relationships with those athletes. Like, hey, I mean, if a kid didn't have food, or didn't have wrestling shoes or whatever, struggling in South Korea, you know, and they know like, hey man, I can go to Coach Irons and he's going to help me out. That's because you guys, you know, you have that relationship, and then you can have those hard talks with them. And
that's right.
Yeah. You know, and I love that, you know, like, hey, sometimes too, we say this in sport, sports teach us about life. I'm like, just because I teach a high C doesn't mean I taught you anything about life. Right. But if I said like, hey, you're cutting corners on this right here, now I can build that life lesson into it. So that's,
and I tell them details are important. Details are super important. Like you heard what I just said, right? I told you not to do that because you were going to pay for it in the end. Just listen, man. Like I've been through this before. Like, so I'm constantly telling them the little things matter. The little things matter. Trust me. Like I should have I gave the analogy. I said, you want a car someday, right? I said, if your tax says it expires on your birthday and you get pulled over the day after, guess what? Now you owe $200 or however much you got to pay, because the details matter. Like, do things the right way.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. That will make the difference on the mat and in life. So
that's right. All right.
Real quick, systematically, we won't get into this too much because it's not just wrestling people that listen to this. So some of our football or maybe some of our businessmen be like, I don't know what to talk about. So if we're getting into too much details, but I do want to bring this up, you know, watching your videos, like I mentioned at the very beginning, especially like throwing people things like that, big moves. And it's funny because sometimes people think like, okay, well, if he's showing this stuff, like he's not showing all the basics. No. Like you're still working your high C's. You're still working all that stuff, but you're not afraid to 5-point somebody either, man. You're not afraid to back somebody. So tell me a little bit about sort of your, I guess, the theory behind your system.
The theory behind my system, I believe in building well-rounded wrestlers. I think that you should know just about every position that there is. And, you know, it's going to be hard to like master it with 100% confidence, but I feel like you should have some level of comfortability in all positions, whether it's being in a high C with your head down, being in a crackdown, you know, double leg, or even from over unders. And I can tell you, you know, Coach Moran has a theory that less than 10% of wrestlers in the world has mastered the over under position. That's why a lot of times you see people like Adam Kuhn will force other heavyweights to get there. He just demolishes them with simple Metzgers. And so my philosophy for the system is start with the basics, master the basics. Once you master the basics, then we can move on to these throws, to these, you know, things of that nature. So really it's mastering the basics and having a counter for almost every reaction that they're going to give you. So like, I mean, you have to, or else you're going to pause. And that split second that you pause, you're going to get scored on. So you just got to be comfortable in all positions. And that's really what I push for.
Yeah, very good. You know, and throws or anything like that, they're all made up of basic positions anyway, right? So once you learn those fundamental positions, I don't care what the move is. Every move is made up of these foundational basics anyway. So, yeah, very good. Yeah, and I'd love it that you show Metzgers. So my very first over wrestling camp was with Andre Metzger. I'm from Oklahoma originally.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm a huge.
You got to meet him at Nationals.
Yeah. So I'm a huge Andre Metzger fan and his style of wrestling. But and like you said, over unders, man. My high school team, we are they're kind of throwing machines. They do a lot of stuff, but because we intentionally train a lot of upper body wrestling, and most people do not intentionally train a lot of upper body.
You get there all the time. You break a single leg, they're going to climb up to the underhook. They hit doubles and they don't get it. You're going to climb up to that body lock. Like you're there as so much. And what do you always see? People run out of bounds and they fall. And it's like, you hear, get out of there, get out of there. Like, no, they should know how to wrestle in that position. Like it's, you know, your fault as a coach. They don't know how to wrestle in that position. So.
100%. All right. So of the coaches that you've got to be around, who's been the most impactful for you and why?
Definitely Moran Karchalava. Just the simple fact that the level of effort that he demands, the level of respect that he demands in his practices just kind of blew my mind. Like, nobody just walks in the room without speaking to him. Everybody goes and shakes his hand. At the end of practice, everybody says thank you for, you know, thank you. And they shake his hand at the end. And it's like, he doesn't have to be doing this. Like, it is a pleasure that he's given his time to do this. Like, that's how much respect that, you know, that he, in the effort, like, he will get you to literally run your head through a wall. And I've never seen that. His philosophy on cutting weight, he literally, like, when I met him, he said, you know, look at you, you're so big and strong. He's from Russia. He's like, well, what weight do you wrestle? And I'm like, well, he said, how much do you weigh? And I said, right now I'm about, 190. Well, I was like 185, 190. And I said, I wrestle 165. So, you know, in August, that's when I'll start dieting. And by December, I'll be down on weight. And he's like, what? And he's like, as athletic as you are, as strong as you are, as fast as you are, he was like, you should not be wrestling that weight. He's like, I wrestle with, he's like, I've tech Kenny Monday, Kevin Jackson. He's like, look at you, you should not be cutting that weight. And he's like, you're not wrestling 65. And I said, okay, I'm not wrestling 165. And the next year I wrestled 184. And that was, ever since then, it was the best seasons I've ever had in my life. And like, his philosophy on cutting weight changed my life. And I even tell my wrestlers, like, you don't need to cut weight because you're malnutrition. Like, you're not going to wrestle well if you don't feel well. So stop. You know what I mean? So there's just little things like that that kind of changed my life. And another coach I have respect for is my high school coach, Coach Diana. And he never wrestled a day in his life. And he took over our wrestling team because the school was going to cut the program. And he just said, you know what? I guess I'll do this. He watches wrestling videos every day before practice. It comes in every day. It's a new move. All right, here's what we're going to do. This guy collar ties you. You're going to put your arm here. And then it's like a job wizard. And every day is like some crazy move.
Yeah.
But everybody on the team just doing like, you know, big moves. Nobody really knows, you know, of course we know like doubles and stuff, but you catch a stud every once in a while doing a move you got no business doing because you don't even, you barely know the basics. But like, he just put his heart and soul into the sport and helping others. Like, he picked me up every single week, took me to other schools for practices every single day, never asked me for a dime, nothing. He just did it because he saw that I love the sport. So because of him, I do the same thing. Like, because of him and because of Moran, it was the same with Moran. I didn't have the money to pay for it. But he said, if you coach for me, then I can train you because it's not free anymore. And for 2 weeks, I was sitting on the sideline and just sitting there because I didn't have the money to pay, but I was learning as I was there. And then he says, okay, all of my parents love you. You're my coach's best friend. Okay, you can train him, but you got to coach for me. So it's like, they saw that I was a good person. I love the sport, because who's going to sit on the sideline like for 2 weeks straight and you're just watching? Like, when people see that you're dedicated as a person, as an athlete, they want to help you. So those two coaches, they pretty much changed my life. And I do the same for wrestlers who I see that they might come, coach, I don't have the money, but, and then I'll say, okay, well, coach my kids club, like, show me that you want, like, that you want to be the best. Show me that you're passionate about something. Show me that you're serious and that it's not all talk. And then I do the same thing that they did for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, it's huge. Billy Graham said, you know, a coach will change or will positively impact more people in 1 year than most people will in a lifetime, you know? Yep. So, and I know I've had those coaches too, man, that I will run through a wall for. They changed my life. And they did those little things, like you said, giving you a ride and never ask for, you know, never ask for anything, taking you to tournaments.
Right.
Those are the things that I love to acknowledge in coaches that they do. They're like the unseen things, right? I mean, we think of like a football coach. Friday nights, we see them on the sidelines and that's how we picture them. Or Saturday nights in college, that's how we picture them. We don't think about all the things they did all week long. At a wrestling tournament, we see this coach in the corner all, you know, on Saturday. You don't think about all the stuff he did all week long. And so, yeah, that's huge, man. I absolutely love it. And I love what you're doing at your club, your impact. You're not only creating good wrestlers, but you're creating good people, pouring into their life, giving these
lives. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I always like to kind of wind down the interview with these questions, and you can answer all three if you want. You can just choose one, expound upon them as much as you want. But I want you to tell me about a hero, highlight, or a hardship. Hero, highlight, hardship, or a little of each. Hero, highlight, hardship in your life.
Hero, hardship, highlight. I can't really think of any heroes off the top of my head. I kind of just pick little pieces, and I try to learn something from everybody. Mm. By that I mean, I try to learn something from everybody, and I find little inspirations and just, you know, people's stories. Because I like to meet people and ask them, okay, how did you get to this point? How did you get to this point? And so, you know, I kind of pick and piece, you know, things together from different people I meet. So I can't necessarily say I have like one hero or somebody that just really stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. A hardship was definitely, man. And they go hand in hand. And, you know, one of the biggest hardships was, you know, just not having that support, like growing up at home. Like, you know, I had a mom and a stepdad who were in the home, but we didn't have a great relationship. Like I couldn't ask them for anything. They never gave me a ride to anywhere, like nothing. So it pretty much was like, I was still on my own with parents who were just there. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, it was tough, man. Like not having anybody to speak to about things that are going on, like in the world, things that are going on with you personally. Like you're spending more time with your coach or, you know, with your teammates, and then you go home and they don't even speak to you really. It's just a hi, pretty much, and a good night. Like that was definitely tough. Lack of resources. And even, you know, I ended up having to move out of, you know, my parents' house when I was in a sophomore in high school. The relationship was just not good at all. So pretty much since like a sophomore in high school up until honestly like a few, probably less than 2 years ago, like I was still homeless, like up until then. And, you know, just kind of climbing my way through the ranks, staying with family here, staying with a friend here for the X amount of months. And like, man, it's been one wild ride, but I would say like that's what the hardship was, not having people to lean on when they need it. You know what I mean? Like having to always figure it out, having to always be strong when you really don't want to. I would say that is like the ultimate hardship. And another is like, you know, most people know by now if they know me or they've heard like a little bit of pieces in the story. But there was a point where, you know, I'm in college, I'm at Bruton Parker, and, you know, I end up, you know, being shot twice. I had a friend, a teammate who died as well. And at that point, I could have easily given up. You know, I had a cast from fingers all the way up here. I had a cast from my wrist all the way up here, and I couldn't do anything. Like, couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't do anything. School offered no assistance. You know, I had teammates who, you know, helped out for maybe a week, but then it just becomes a normal. That's just Jalari. But, you know, I'm in my room, depressed. I can't take care of myself. I can't do anything by myself. And luckily, my girlfriend at the time, she helped me out a lot. But I'm in class and I can't write anything. I can't carry a book bag. I can't do anything but get up and walk around. Couldn't feed myself, barely. Like, it was tough, man. And everybody's saying, why don't you just go home? Why don't you just go home? My family's saying, why don't you just come home? Where? Who am I going to stay with? You're not going to let me stay with you. So I'm going to go home and do what?
Yeah.
And okay, so I just left this college campus where I'm working towards a degree. And then you want me to come home, so what? You can see me every few months and just say, it's nice to see that you're back. Like, nah. So I stayed on campus, falling asleep in class off of pain meds, can't do anything. I'm having to like study and I can't write anything down. I'm just reading and trying to recite things to myself. It was tough, man. It was tough. And that was definitely one of the toughest times of my life. But I managed. I told myself when I stepped on that campus, because I had transferred there, and I'm like, I'm not leaving this college campus until I get a degree. And I said, I'm not leaving. I don't care what happens. I'm not leaving until I get a degree. Like, when I left OVU, I took time off. And then, you know, I go to Bruton Parker, and there was a few things that most people would have left. Most people would have said, you know what, this is the end of the road for me. Like, I'm just gonna pack up and go home. But I knew that one vehicle that, you know, catapults you from like class to class in life is education. So I'm just like, right now I'm below the poverty line. Like, I at least want to be low class. So let me get let me get this degree, or middle class. So let me get this college degree. So I'm just like, I'm not leaving. I don't care what happens. I'm not leaving this campus until I get a degree. And I end up graduating. I don't think I graduated with honors from there with my AA, but I did from FGCU. I got my bachelor's. But I'm like, I'm not leaving without a degree, man. I don't care. And I stayed and I got my degree. And man, it was a blessing that I was able to do that. But it was sad because my teammate who passed away, he was supposed to graduate at the same time. Mm-hmm. And have him. None of my family showed up. Nobody showed up to see me graduate. And these are the people that are saying, come home. And I told all of you about graduation. And, you know, your son almost died, your nephew, and nobody showed up to see me graduate. So it's like, man, it was tough. Like, I was happy that I graduated, but it was sad because afterwards, everybody goes outside and I have nobody there. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? But like, it felt good that I was able to do it for me, and that I, you know, did it for my, you know, for my friend. I was able to still live that and say, you know, I'm glad that I was able to do this, because I didn't want to let him down either. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So.
How much during that time of difficulty, during that time of hardship, how much did your faith play a role in that?
My faith played a huge role. It played a huge role. And I didn't, it's tough because sometimes, like, as much as I want to just say, like, you know what, I'm just going to give up on this whole faith thing, there's something that just like never lets me give up. Like, I was still going to church and everything. But, you know, I heard early on in a sermon, or it was either a sermon or it was just a conversation I heard from, you know, maybe my youth pastor and the head pastor. And somewhere I heard that, you know, they said never question God. And, you know, it might be okay to question God because you're like, okay, why is this happening? Yeah. You know? And man, it would just be late night and I'd just be in my bed like crying, and I would just be asking him, like, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm sure, you know, there's something bigger to the story. Like, I don't really want to question you, but this is pretty crappy. Like, and what's crazy is like, I did everything the right way to, you know, ensure that I wouldn't put myself in any bad situations. You know what I mean? Like, doing everything by the book. Like, I was that person. I was that teammate that was like the role model. Like, you're doing everything the right way. And I'm just like, I did everything the right way. I felt like trouble was coming, and I said I wasn't going to go these places, and I didn't hang out with these people. I didn't go there, and I still somehow managed to find myself in the same situation that I avoided X amount of times. Like, and I'm just like, it was very weird, man. Honestly, like time after time, I took multiple steps to make sure that I wasn't going to be at this event, and still ended up there, dragged there pretty much, because I didn't have transportation. My car broke down and I ended up going somewhere with teammates. They were supposed to take me back to the dorms. And there's a whole car full of teammates, and they're saying, we're going here, we're going here. And I'm like, no, take me home, take me home. Lo and behold, that's when everything went down that night. So it's just like, dang, man, you did everything in your power to not be at this event. And, you know, for a reason, I don't know if it was intuition or what, but, you know, my faith played a huge role. A lot of me wanted to, like, there's times where I'll, you know, feel like disconnected, probably with my relationship with God. And I won't really say disconnected, but sometimes I'm stubborn. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? I'm kind of bitter right now. I don't want to pray about it. I don't want to. And I'll go for, you know, short periods of time where I'm like, nah, I'll just handle it on my own. But I always end up rekindling that relationship with God. So it's like, and then it makes me feel better because I feel like it's not necessarily wrong, but sometimes you just need to assess the situation and assess what's really going on and what's important. So no matter what, like my faith, it most definitely played a huge part because I could have gave up how many times, but always, you know, keep my eyes turned up.
Yeah. You know, and I don't think it's at all wrong to question God, to be mad at God. And I heard it like this one time, I think it's good, but like God's a big God. Like he can handle our questions. He can handle our being mad at him, and we're human, right? We have emotions. And maybe it's something about us being wrestlers. I'm the same way, man. And I still get stubborn. I still get angry or whatever, or I'm just like, I got this. And I try to do it all by myself. And then eventually I'm like, all right, I don't got this. Like, I
got that's right.
Yeah.
You exhaust all of your options and then you're like, all right, now I guess I got to pray about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, highlight, man. Give me a highlight in your life.
The highlight was earning my bachelor's degree, man. It was going to happen. And it seemed like every time I got a little bit closer to doing it, they threw in another class that I was magically missing. And it's just like, you guys don't want me to graduate. And I ended up becoming homeless again right before senior year. Like I spent the whole entire summer living in like a motel, like the entire COVID. Actually, it was from the spring and summer. It was, yeah. And I didn't even know how I was gonna go to school and still finish. But luckily I didn't like keep everything to myself. I'm just like, at a certain point, I'm like, okay, I need help. And I reached out to my advisors at FGCU. So, man, it just seems like whenever we try to do something good for ourselves or even like anything ultimately good, you're going to be attacked multiple times on time after time. And I think that's one of my biggest highlights because out of everything that happened, I could have easily gave up. But my thing is that if you give up now, you're going to, time's still going to go on. Year later, you're going to look back and you say, I shouldn't have done this. And I heard early on when I was, you know, growing up, I heard somebody say, you don't want to be on your deathbed and say, I should have done this. I should have did that. And I was actually on my deathbed and I'm like, and I was praying. I'm like, I don't want it to end like this. Like I didn't impact enough people. I didn't change enough lives. I didn't accomplish what I want to accomplish. Like, please don't let this be the end for me. And I'm literally praying like this, like I have no doubt that, you know, I'd go to heaven, you know, but I'm just like, I haven't impacted enough lives on this earth. Like, give me another chance. And I'm still impacting lives as much as I can every single day. So I would say that's a highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, your tenacity, and I like what you said, man, time still goes, it's still going to go on, right? So time's still going to keep moving. So you either give up or you just keep on keeping on. Right. Might as well keep on keeping on and keep trying to chase that burn right. in your stomach, man, that thing that the passion you have, the you know, I want to impact lives, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well go that way instead of falling the other direction. So I love that's it, right. man. And here you are, you're doing it now. You know, you're running your Irons Elite Wrestling Club. Like I said, yes, on social media, you're crushing it, you know.
I appreciate it, man. I do my best. It's rough. Like, I would say things are more challenging than they are, like, easygoing a lot of the times. Like, my emotions are always up and down. As soon as I think I'm doing things the right way, something happens and I'm like, man, like, am I doing things the right way? Am I having success in this? Like, should I keep doing it? And then there's that one kid that shows up and he has a great practice, just me and him or just two kids. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if I have a whole room full this month, like these two kids have been killing it. Or this kid, I kid you not, man. I'm not kidding with you. I have a kid who's been with me for 2 months. He's in middle school. I have this kid doing inside trips, med skirts and front headlocks, body lock throws. He's a two-month wrestler. And sometimes I find myself getting angry with him. like we were doing pummeling the duck unders. And I got upset with him. And I'm just, because he's like, where do I put my hand? I'm like, you just saw me do that move. How many times? I asked if anybody had questions, right? And then I realized, like, another coach came in and he was just watching. And I think he asked me something about him. And I'm like, yeah, he's been wrestling for 2 months. And I'm just like, hold on. He's been wrestling for 2 months. And I'm like, bro, why are you getting mad at him? Like, he literally is brand new to the sport. So I'm just like, he's doing better than a lot of these high schoolers who has been in it for forever. And I'm just like, okay. And now, like, it popped back in my, you know, the light went off. And I'm like, you're doing a way better job than what you think you are. This two-year wrestler is hitting things that, you know, advanced moves. And I'm just like, all right, yeah. Like, you have a good thing going here. So, like, you know, it's always, like, little events like that just kind of keep me going.
Yep. So I know this 100% for certain. Things always look, you know, especially in the social media world, things always look smoother. Things always look easier when somebody
is rough.
But whenever we're actually doing it, we know the backstory. We know how tough it really is. We see somebody else do it. And that's the danger with social media sometimes too, is
a highlight reel.
Yeah. We see people's highlights and then we hold ourselves to that standard, you know, and comparison is the thief of joy anyway. We hold ourselves to that standard. And then, like, hey, anything worth doing and doing well, there's going to be, like, adversity, going to be trials. You're going to have to dig in a little bit, but it's always worth it because, like you said, man, you see that one kid, you see the light go off, you see something positive happening in their life, and like, that's why I do it right there, you know?
That's so, right.
Yep. So, all right, well, how can we
follow up? I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate what you're doing, and keep it up, man. I want to encourage you, you know, keep it up. I love it. From one coach to another, man, it's inspiring, and this is what God has called us to do. So,
yes, sir.
Where can we follow you on social media?
You can follow me at Irons Elite Wrestling. I have a Facebook page, Instagram page, and a YouTube. My YouTube is JBARI65. So it's just my name without the A in it. JBARI65. But Irons Elite Wrestling, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. And I'll put those links in the show notes so people can just click on the link, go right there. And also, anybody's listening, I encourage you, highly encourage you, go follow those pages, share those pages, be inspired. And if you are a wrestling nerd like I am, get on, watch the technique. And, you know, it's one of the things, man, whenever we are, I think anybody in any sport, or I would say any profession, when you love something, you're always trying to learn. And when you're trying to learn, you're going to see when somebody's doing it well. And like, hey, if I can find one little thing in there to add to our game, the way we're doing it, that's one more tool right there that who knows.
Right. And
like, I might show that to one kid and that gets them to the state finals right there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. So, all right, Jabari, man, Coach Iron.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. You bet. So, all right, everybody, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey there, friends. If you are a wrestler, jiu-jitsu athlete, grappler of any sort, MMA fighter, weightlifter, any of the above, I want you to go check out my friends at terragrappler.com. These are hands down the best wrestling shoes I've worn. I've been competing my entire life. I wear these to wrestle in. I wear these while I'm weightlifting. Pretty much any kind of training that I do, I'm rocking my Terra Grapplers. You can go to terragrappler.com, and if you use the code COACHCP10, you'll get $10 off of your order. The link is also in the show notes, so go check out my friends at terragrappler.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.